Well, hey, Bridgeway, welcome to Church Online, Church at Home. I'm Pastor Ron. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to welcome you to our online experience. In just a moment, I'm going to be turning the mic over to our special guest speaker today, who I believe is going to challenge you and inspire you to take a great step in your faith. Before I do that, I wanted to give some guidance and begin to answer the question that is on a lot of people's minds. The question is, when are we coming back to church? When are we going to have services on site, in our building, at our campus? That is an incredibly important question for our leadership. And as an elder team, we have been prayerfully planning what we're calling our Back to Church initiative. It's time to get back to services here in our building. I know that through talking to many people, that this topic is very dynamic, that everyone has a range of feelings and emotions on this. For some, the whole idea of coming back to church is an exciting idea. You can't wait to get back to church. And for other people, that same question is a bit daunting. Back to church, maybe even a little bit scary. As your pastor, I want you to know that no matter where you're at on the spectrum, you matter and your feelings are valid and important to us. We want to take that into account in what we're doing. In fact, we wouldn't even be in this situation if it weren't for such unusual and unprecedented times. But this is the leadership challenge that God has given to the community of faith. And so, as an elder team, we are preparing to relaunch services in mid-June. We're taking time to accommodate guidelines given to us by the Centers for Disease Control for places of worship, as well as taking into wisdom and ideas from other churches, as well as medical professionals and businesses that are preparing to do the exact same thing. Your safety is our top priority, and the precautions that we take are to do as much as we possibly can to ensure that. I also want to let you know that for those of you who are not ready to come back to church here on site, that church online, church at home, will continue in this format. In fact, it's been really tremendous to see how God has leveraged technology. I mean, the surge in viewership is given birth to some new vision for our community, to be what I would hope to be a church that is truly global and mobile as we enter this next decade of multiplication. And so now you will have two options to worship and to grow in your faith in services here and in services online. We'll have more details to share in the weeks to come, but I wanted to give you kind of the latest in what we're thinking. I would also ask that you pray alongside of us and that together we would seek the unity of serving Him together. Now, for our special guest, it gives me great privilege to introduce to you and to welcome back to us a friend and fellow pastor, Steve Spear, with Team World Vision. Steve is one of the most interesting and crazy guys I have ever met. I mean, in fact, when I think about what Steve did, it still blows me away. Steve resigned from a very comfortable position as a pastor in a highly influential church in South Barrington, Illinois, and then prepared for and ran across the country from Los Angeles to New York City. I've stood on the Santa Monica Pier where Steve Spear prayed and began his long run. This run was truly amazing. He raised over $500,000 for some of the most vulnerable people in the world by bringing clean water through World Vision. What's so exciting is our community has partnered with Team World Vision for the last 5 years. This will now be our sixth year of coming alongside and beginning to build bridges for people who right now are praying. And the thought of clean water is just simply a dream. And you think about what we're being told these days. We're being told to stay apart and social distance and what? And to wash our hands. I don't know about you, but just the idea of washing my hands with clean water and being able to drink clean water is something that I take for granted. And now we have an opportunity to do something, to move our feet, and to be about change for others. I'm so excited and have been praying that God would just use this message, and however He does, to be about building His kingdom. Here's Steve Spear with Team World Vision.
Hey Well, Ron, Bridgeway family, it's really good to be back with you. I would really love to be there with you in person, but this will have to do. I want to welcome you to our home just outside of Chicago. Right over this shoulder, you can see what we call this our love wall. Here in our home, we're family. We have great images of them, but welcome to our home, and I'm glad to be with you in your home or wherever you might be watching this from. Hey, if you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 9 and just hold that in readiness, we're going to dive into that in just a moment. Hey, as Ron mentioned, I did run across the United States. It was 6 years ago. I ran 3,081 miles, not that I was counting. Ran through 14 states, went through 10 pair of ASIC running shoes. We figured I ate about 1,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches mid-run. It was definitely pretty crazy. Because if you knew me 15 years ago, I am the most unlikely guy to have run across the United States. And I know when I was with you a couple of years ago, you had a chance to hear the God story behind that. So I'd invite you at any time to go back and to view that message. But speaking of running, I have a thank you for you and an announcement. First, the thank you. I wanted to say thank you to over 150 of you who have stepped beyond your fears and out of your comfort zone, and you've either ran or walked the Grand Rapids Marathon. And get this, you've raised over $110,000 for clean water, sanitation, and hygiene. And I just wanted to say way to go and thank you. Now here's the announcement. I'm really excited about this one. Today, we're launching the 2020 Grand Rapids Team World Vision Bridgeway Running Team. Now, I know I lost like 90% of you because I use the words marathon and running in the same sentence. And if that's you, that's okay. Because Team World Vision, I don't know if you knew this or not, but 80% of the people who run or walk with us have never even done a 5K before. You see, Team World Vision is for all shapes, all sizes, all ages, from young adults to retirees. As a matter of fact, we have a couch to finish line training plan. We will take you from the couch to the finish line and then right back to the couch again. And quite honestly, there isn't a better time to do this. I mean, this is a time where we can make sure that every child on the planet has the right to wash their hands. And when you run, not only are you bringing clean water, but you're staving off diseases like coronavirus and so many others and making a difference in our world. And I want to encourage you to do this. And not only that, you will be getting into the best shape of your life. So there's no better time to consider doing this. So here's how it's going to work. You're going to be able to right now text the word Bridgeway to 44888. You can take out your phone and do that right now. Text the word Bridgeway to 44888. You're going to answer a couple of questions, and then you're going to have a chance to watch a video that will tell you a little bit more information about what this will look like. Now texting in, just remember, texting in won't commit you to running or walking the Grand Rapids Marathon or Half Marathon. It's just going to give you some more information. I truly hope tons of you will pull out your phones and text Bridgeway. So one thing about my story that I don't believe that you know is that I was born and raised in the state of Vermont. Man, I love my home state. I have tons of pride for it. We often get joked that there are more cows than people in the state of Vermont, and that may be true. We're known for a lot of different things. Beautiful fall foliage, Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Any Ben and Jerry's? Yeah, there's lots of Ben and Jerry fans out there. But my favorite is Vermont maple syrup. Now, I know I'm talking to people in Michigan. You get pure maple syrup. You do. Now, God bless the people who work for Log Cabin and Mrs. Buttersworth, but that's not real maple syrup. And I'm kind of a maple syrup snob. Now, I may or may not have been known to bring my own little jug of Vermont maple syrup into some restaurants. I know, my family just, they can't take me anywhere. Now, I'm not good at a lot of things, but I have a guarded family recipe for the best pancakes on the planet. And I must say, I can make a pretty mean pancake, I'm just saying. And of course, like any kind of a great recipe, there's great ingredients that go into that. Now, I know it's a stretch to map over pancake making to scripture, but go with me for just a moment here, because there's a few ingredients that I'm gonna lift out of a passage of scripture right now that I think will help us in our goal of making something pretty fantastic. So let's go to Matthew chapter 9, and we're gonna begin reading with verse 35. It reads this way. Now, Jesus went through the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." If we look close at this passage, we can discover actually a few key ingredients of what I will call a life lived on mission. And that's what we're talking about today. How do you live a life on mission? Or how do you live missionally, especially in the world that we're in right now? And these ingredients, we will see, they're all exhibited in Christ's life. They were true of him. And I'd love for us to explore these three ingredients that I'll display in just a moment and how they were true of Christ. And I believe if we can take these three things that were true of Christ and we can map them into our lives, whoa, we will have a life on mission. So here they are. Number one, in verse 36, it says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he was consumed or filled with compassion." This is that first ingredient of Christ's life, to be consumed by compassion. The second ingredient isn't as blatantly obvious, but we see it in another passage that we'll explore in just a moment. But it's kind of buried within these words in verse 36 when it says that he saw the crowds, that he saw the crowds. One thing when you look at the life of Christ and we notice about his ministry and as he interacted with people and the crowds is that Jesus actually spent most of his time responding to interruptions. He did. I mean, Jesus would be doing something, walking, teaching, praying, sleeping, and then he would be interrupted with a need and he would respond to that. You think about that. A lot of Jesus's life was actually spent responding to interruptions. Parents right now, you've been teaching your children at home. I mean, you are epitomizing the ministry of Jesus because why? You're getting interrupted all the time. You are doing Jesus's ministry. So kind of take that as some consolation, even in these moments right now. Sure, there were some very planned out aspects of Jesus's ministry, but in large measure, Jesus spent most of his time responding to interruptions. And that's the second key ingredient of living a life on mission, being open to interruptions. The last key ingredient is actually found in verses 37 and 38. When Jesus said to send out into the harvest field workers, the essence of this is being a force for good. You see, one thing that was abundantly clear about Jesus and that he guided his followers with in these words is that we are to be a force for good. I mean, Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world, but he was also the most perfect form of a force for good, being sent out and doing in his name. So as you can see, Jesus was consumed by compassion. He responded to interruptions and he was a force for good. And friends at Bridgeway, he invites us to live a life on mission by doing these and having these true in our lives as well. And I'd love for us to just explore one passage that brings this into full color. And it's just a few verses before this in Matthew chapter 9. So just kind of look back a little bit in verse 18. We want to read this account together. It says, "While he was saying this, a synagogue..." Now, as I'm reading this, watch for the ingredients, okay? Watch for what we were just talking about in those three things. "While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, 'My daughter has just died. But come, put your hand on her and she will live.' Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, 'If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed.' Jesus turned and saw her. 'Take heart, daughter,' he said, 'your faith has healed you.' And the woman was healed at that moment. Now, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, 'Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all the region." So did you see some of the ingredients in there of a life lived on mission? I mean, Jesus was interrupted, right? He says, while he was saying this, Jesus probably was teaching, right? And while he was teaching, he was interrupted by the synagogue leader who wanted to tell him about what had happened, obviously in a very painful way, to his daughter. And Jesus, while on the way to respond to that interruption, he had another interruption by this woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So that's the first ingredient we see there. The second one is that Jesus was filled with compassion. When that synagogue leader would have knelt before Jesus, he would have looked at him. And then it says right here in the scriptures that when the woman was before him, it says that Jesus turned and he saw her. One of the ways that we can grow our hearts of compassion is to look into the eyes of those who are the most hurting. This is what we're encouraged to do. And it could even be in this moment, you need your life looked into from Jesus. Right now, you need to have compassion looked into your life because of what you're maybe experiencing right now. And know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has compassion on you. He sees you. He sees the condition. He sees what's happening in your world right now at home or at work or the lack thereof or what. He sees you. Jesus looks at us. But we're encouraged to look in the eyes of others. And in that, our heart of compassion will grow. So he did that. But then finally, we see both in the woman and in the synagogue's daughter, he was a force for good. He restored a broken circumstance. You see, that's what we're invited to do, to restore the broken circumstances in our world, the big ones and the small ones, and Jesus did that. And then one final passage that we'll look at, and this is from Matthew chapter 5, just a couple of chapters earlier, when Jesus said, and the most recorded message that he had, the Sermon on the Mount, he said that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the room. In the same way, Jesus said, let your light shine before people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, friends, we are invited to be a force for good. We're invited to grow our hearts of compassion and, yes, to respond to the interruptions that come our way. I will never forget the interruption that came my way to run my first marathon. I mean, I was minding my own business in October of 2006. It was on a Monday morning, as a matter of fact, and an interruption came. It came through a friend calling me up who had just run the Chicago Marathon the day before in 2006. And he said, hey, Steve, you need to run the Chicago Marathon with me next year in 2007 with World Vision. And I had a two-letter answer for him, which was N-O, followed by the phrase, I hate running. But God moved me past my comfort zone. He moved me to take a step into the unknown. He invited me almost to respond to that interruption over time. And I said, yes, I did. And I quickly adopted four goals for that first marathon. Goal number one was to hate running less every time I ran. Goal number two was to train well enough to make it to the starting line. The third goal was to finish before they closed the course. They weren't really high goals. And then that fourth goal was to raise $1,000 for clean water for kids and families around the world. I thought it would be a one and out deal, but something happened. My heart for compassion grew by being a part of that experience. It started with responding to an interruption, and somehow in a very humble way, I think God used me in a very small way to be a force for good in that first marathon. I roll the picture ahead another couple years, and I'll never forget the interruption that I received to go to South Africa and to run the 56-mile Comrades Ultra Marathon. I mean, that was a big interruption, and it happened also on a Friday afternoon. And I felt like that God invited me to step into that interruption and to say yes and go out of my comfort zone and to do something that I never thought was quite possible. But what happened as a result of saying yes to that is my heart for compassion grew. And then it was just 6 months later after that run is where I felt the Lord inviting me to run across the United States for the good of others. That was probably the biggest, most seismic interruption I'd ever received. And I really didn't want to do it, didn't sense it was anything that I should be doing, but yet God continued to nurture me along in that. And God did invite us to do that, and something powerful happened in that moment. And then the final interruption that I just want to tell you about was the interruption that I received to go to Africa to visit our sponsor child. This was after the Comrades Ultra Marathon, to go back to Africa and to visit one of our World Vision sponsored children. When the interruption came to do this, we had a lot going on in our world, a lot going on in our life, and I didn't sense that that was what we were supposed to do or what I was supposed to do at that time. But yet there was this urging to go, and I went. And this picture that you're seeing, many of you, some of you have met Winnie. She came with me one time to Bridgeway. But this is a child that Francis and I began sponsoring a few years ago. And this is when I had the unique privilege of meeting her in August of 2012. And it was on this day that I met Winnie and her family in their very humble home in the Rift Valley area of Kenya. And then after some greetings, we walked 1 mile to their water source. And the small pond that you see in this picture was where Winnie's family washed what little clothes they had. It's where they bathed. It's where I saw livestock drinking around the perimeter of this pond and relieving themselves. This is their water source. And then we drew water out of that contaminated water source in the 5-gallon container that I had, water that would kill half the kids under the age of 5 in Winnie's village. And then I carried that 5-gallon, 50-pound weight 1 mile back to Winnie's home. And that walk wrecked me. It broke me. It broke my heart thinking about Winnie and the thousands of kids like her that would not have life, that would not have hygiene, would not have the ability to wash their hands and to drink clean water. And then I learned about how the money that we were raising through clean water and sponsorship would not only bring clean water, but sanitation and hygiene, education, and even microfinance. This picture that you're looking at right now, on the left is when I met Winnie almost 7 years ago. This is before she had access to clean water and what a sense of fullness of life could look like. On the right is the last time that I saw Winnie a little over a year ago. They now have access to clean water. Winnie is excelling in school. Her family have this small, thriving garden business. And every Sunday morning, get this, Winnie is teaching 20 to 25 smaller children truths from Scripture, like the ones that we heard today, under a thatched roof in their humble church. We've now seen Winnie and hung out with her twice since first meeting her in 2012. And I'm telling you, this young, vibrant, joy-filled girl is not only family, she has redefined family. Friends at Bridgeway, when we seek to live missionally, when we seek to be a force for good locally, right here where you live, where I live, and then globally, it'll probably come with some interruptions. I'm just telling you, it will. But you are doing this. Many of you are doing this already. You're already living missionally. It was the coolest thing on the planet to hear of the donation drive for resources that Bridgeway has done, that many of you have taken part of, for the Midland area with all the flooding and the devastating, devastation that happened there that wiped out people's homes. And that even yet this weekend, many of you from Bridgeway have traveled to the area to clean up in the area. When that happened, you responded to an interruption. Compassion filled your heart. And you were and you are a force for good. And I want to encourage you, continue doing this. Do this in your homes. Do this in your neighborhood. Do this even right now with the very unique season that your locale, your state, my state, that we're all in, that we can all be a force for good. You can do this. And let me just jump back very specifically into this invitation today. Now, I know, as you're viewing this, there probably wasn't a single one of you that were planning to come into this online church service today with an interruption to run or to run walk a marathon. But I can guarantee you this, when you say yes to stepping out of your comfort zone, when you say yes to go beyond your fears, when you say yes to respond to an interruption, your heart for compassion will grow. It will. You can't help it from not growing, and you will be a force for good. So again, here's how it's worked. You can pull out your phone right now. Just go ahead and pull it out right now. Text the word Bridgeway to 44888. Just text the word Bridgeway to 44888. You're gonna be asked two easy questions, and then you're gonna get a video of what you can watch to just get all the information that you need on this. But remember, texting in doesn't commit you to running or run walking. It just means that you're going to get some more information. I want to close by you seeing a video right now. And this video, I think, will inspire you. It's only a little bit more than 2 minutes long. Watch it. I think you'll be inspired by this. I think something will well up inside of you as a result of this. And my prayer is that the Lord will keep you. He will bless you. He will cover you with His peace as we live missionally and as we are a force for good here and abroad. Lord bless you. Can't wait to see you all next weekend. His peace on you.
Ubuntu is very important to us. It basically means I am because we are.
We are all here united, moving our feet to make a difference in the world. Yeah! We don't run for ourselves, but we run for more, right?
I run for World Vision to raise money to help the kids. They carry these 20 pounder, some water or miles, and I do this running for them.
It's unspeakable to think that 1,000 children are dying every single day. It's not just my kids, it's not just somebody else's kids, it's our kids. I've seen moms who would do anything for their kids. They would, in essence, give up their entire life walking for water for their kids. That even makes them sick. And it's something that's solvable.
Having clean water allows the kids to be with their family, to be in school. It really is like it's changing whole communities because water is the basis for health in every way of life.
If you've never run before, World Vision has gotten thousands of people across the finish line.
Just do it.
If I can do it.
Just do it, seriously.
You can do it.
You know, this whole thing started about 4 years ago. I quit smoking. I've had 5 knee surgeries. So this is a total gift that God's given back to me. I need to do something with it.
I mean, the idea of running even a half marathon at 60 years old was like, well, that's a crazy thing to do. When you get to that finish, you know, there's a group there, high fives and cowbells, and it's an awesome community.
We are part of the community before we are the individual.
Give it up for an 86-year-old Henry!
It is within that community that you are able to find life, you are able to find encouragement, joy. You are because we are.